You're listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. Up next is a replay of our Sunday, July 23rd church service with a message from Pastor Raph and music from Ellen and the worship team.
I just want to ask Brother Daryl to come up and open the service.
Good morning. See a lot of new faces here today. Welcome. How's everybody liking the heat? It's not too bad. I did notice yesterday at the library, they do have a cooling center. So if you know anybody that doesn't have air conditioning or whatever and it's too hot for them, from 10 till 6, they have a cooling center at the library. So just so everybody knows, pass it along. I got a little story I'd like to read. It's called Johnny's Dust. After church, Johnny tells his parents he has to go and talk to the minister right away. They agree, and the pastor greets the family. "Pastor," Johnny says, "I heard you say today that our bodies came from dust." "That's right, Johnny, I did," he says. "And I heard you say that when we die, our bodies go back to dust." "Yes, I'm glad you were listening," the pastor replies. "Why do you ask?" "Well, you better come over to our house right away and look under my bed, because there's someone either coming or going." Okay, I'd like to read from Colossians 3:15-17. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day. And Lord, those that are traveling, I ask for a covering upon them. Pour your blood over them as they travel and keep them safe. And Lord, I know there's this big Shambhala thing up on this summit there, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that that be done. It's over now, but it doesn't come back. It's just, Lord, I just ask that those there, as they get home or when they're traveling, you just reveal yourself to them, and they just do a 360, Lord, and just serve you. And I ask that you bless Pastor Raph as he speaks your word and the worship team as they lead us in worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning and welcome. I see some old familiar faces, Nadine and Theo. Welcome. And Susan, I see Susan over there. Okay, everyone stand. Let's just open our hearts to the Lord this morning and sing out loud. We're missing a few people and we've gained a new member, and Bob is having a rest at the back. He'll be back next week. Okay.
You paid the price at Calvary. Let your kingdom come here.
Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
In your presence, Lord.
Yeah, let's give him a hand. Praise the Lord. So, I come before you this morning with a little bit of, fear and trepidation, a little bit of nervousness, like I'm golfing for the first time, a little stressed. I was Trevor yesterday. I had to laugh. Like, that's courage, you know, going and doing something and just, you never done it before, and just going out and doing it and giving it your best shot and actually enjoying it. We were in prayer yesterday in the men's meeting, and it was really good. It was powerful. And so Peter, right here, starts saying all kinds of things. And one of the things, he's like, be bold, be bold, be bold. And it's just like, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was thinking, be bold and courageous. Or, no, that's not it. Be strong and courageous. Oh, yeah, wait a second. I remember that. It's out of Joshua chapter 1. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. And, you know, I was working on a sermon just about finished yesterday, Revelation chapter 2, 1 to 6. And just as I was kind of like finishing it up, I get this, be bold. And it's like, be bold, be bold. It's like, what? And it's like, oh no. What is the Spirit of God? Is this the Spirit of God? And so anyways, what was prepared for today is your sermon next week. So that's why the PowerPoint was kind of not making sense or whatever, and it was all that hard work that Christiane did for me. And but it's there. It's done for next week. So here I am, being bold. I'm going to speak to you what I feel the Lord is speaking to me by His Spirit. God give me grace, and God have mercy on me. Lord, I just thank you that you called me to yourself, that you gave me a hope and a future, that you took somebody that was in darkness, that was dying, that was lost, that would have been lost forever, and you brought me to yourself. You gave me salvation. You gave me a hope and a future. You gave me a life, and I was in the grave, knee deep. And I just want to testify of your goodness. I want to testify today of what you did in my life. I want to testify that you are the King of all kings. And we are part of the kingdom of God. You are the King, and we are subjects of the kingdom. So Lord, I just pray that you would lead me, you guide me, help me to hear you, help me to communicate what you desire today. In Jesus' name, amen. Zechariah chapter 4 says, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Did you ever have a hero growing up? Maybe it was a real person. But for me, it was like every single, like, guy from the cop show, from cowboy show, from all these like war shows that I grew up watching in my grandfather's house. So it was his fault that I had this fantasy about what it meant to be a hero, what it meant to be a man. And that grew and grew. And I actually wanted to be an action hero named Steve. Because Steve to me was a real manly name, you know? And it was like, I think it was from some of you, this is dating myself here, but the $6 million man, the bionic man, Steve Austin, you know? And that's what happened when he was running. It'd be like, so I didn't like myself, and this is what I was striving to be, you know? And I was raised on this steady diet of cop shows, war shows, cowboy shows. And there was a culture that my grandfather fostered and I grew up in. And it was about violence. It was about, again, this epitome of what a real man was, a hero was. And my grandfather, you know, later on when we lived with him, and he would say, you know, he watched these movies, and this time it was like Steven Seagal, you know, all these terrible movies. And I hate to admit that there was a time that Steven Seagal was my hero. That boo is right. Boo! What a fraud. He's not a hero at all. I had to get my whole sense realigned on what a hero was. And all my aspirations of what I really wanted to be, this amazing hero that rescued people and that killed the bad guys and all this sort of stuff, that had to be all realigned. I wanted to be a warrior. It was more than anything. And my designs on pursuing that were abruptly dismantled. Any hopes that I had of achieving this went down the tubes when I had 5 stays in the psychiatric institution in Victoria. I had no hopes of signing up for anything. Hey, give me a gun. I want a gun now. I've just been in the psych ward. I need a gun. Yeah, right. Get out of here. Why did that happen? I was going to be a great hero. But you know, in that process, I came to know the one called El Gibor. And that, in a sense, is the translation is mighty God, but is the mighty one, Jesus Christ. And he came into my life when I had no hope, no sense of anything anymore. I was in a time where I had come out of hospital, and I thought that my answer was a relationship with a woman. And that's kind of what drew me out of this morass of darkness. I was in a time of depression. I met this girl. All of a sudden, whoo, life is good again. And some of you, I think I've told this story before, so bear with me. So we were together for several years, and then, you know, all of a sudden something started happening to me. I do not like living like this. I don't like this relationship anymore. I like her, but I don't like what I'm doing. So as she was getting more and more into the party life, into that area, I was getting more and more drawn by the Spirit of God to him. And she would say, okay, I want to go to a rave. You know what a rave is? Most people know what a rave is. It's like, you know, and it's just like it's a debauchery festival. You know, and you know, more or less. You don't want to go to these things, because they draw you more and more into the darkness and away from God. So she wanted to go that way. I wanted to read my Bible. And so this particular night, she's like, I'm going to the rave. You coming? No. See you. Off she goes. And all of a sudden, it's like God is gripping my heart. And it's like, you know what? I'm coming to a crossroads. I can't live like this anymore. I need to make a change. And the thing was is that I was too weak to really step forward. But then all of a sudden, something happened. I was listening to a secular song, believe it or not, and God started to speak through that song and touch my heart. And you know what happened? I had a revelation of the cross. I had a revelation of Jesus on the cross, in the darkness, in the rain, bleeding and dying. And you know what was what I understood? This is for you. And all of a sudden, it just undid me and it broke me. I was just like, okay, Lord, how do you see that and not do something about it and to change your life? I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Whatever it takes, I'm going to do it. Immediately after that, she broke up with me. And you know what happened? I became suicidal. So it's like I came to Christ and all of a sudden the devil is just right there just to kick me back into the pit. The step on my hands as I'm clinging up, climbing up out of that pit. And from that situation, from there, I ended up back in the psych ward. here I am again. Hello? You know, I get in there and I wake up and it's like, there's this guy this far away from me going, ah! Chicken man. No. Wasn't like that at all. Kind of, no, but not really. It was just a lot of people like shuffling along in their big slippers, you know, zombies walking around. You know, there's this thing that happens to you when you have a lot of meds that react poorly with your body chemistry. You sort of seize up, and there was this guy that would just go like this, and I'd be like, that guy thinks he's a statue. But that's not what he was doing. It was actually it was a response to his meds, and his meds were causing his muscles to tense up. It's called tardive dyskinesia. So I did see things like that, but I thought the guy thought he was a statue. But in that place, you know, it's like this weird thing. As I had come to Christ, I said, Lord, I want to follow you. All of a sudden, my eyes were opened up spiritually, and I started to see things I never saw before. And that place was dark. That place was confusing. That place made me feel like I wanted to kill myself, even worse. So you know what happened? I had my Bible. I had a book written by Warren Wiersbe. Some of you might know that name. And it was called Be Strong. And it was a commentary on the book of Joshua. And I'm going to read from verse 7 just to verse 9, okay? So Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And, you know, I read this over and over and over again. Because in this place where all of a sudden it was like the kingdom of darkness was just hovering over me. And I became a child of the light. Yet it was trying to drag me back in. Drag me back in. So, you know, this is in the context of what is written in the book of Joshua. This was prior to the children of Israel going forward to take the land. God was commanding them to take the land. And he was saying, be strong and courageous. Keep the law on your lips, right? So, because the kingdom of Israel was going to be established. But you know, the parallel to this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself establishing the kingdom. That he was strong and courageous in all that he did. And he spoke the word. He was the living word. He demonstrated the kingdom in all he did, right? So, as I was living this out, and bearing myself in the word of God, I started to see the kingdom come. I started to see this happen before me. You know, people would come up to me and they would approach me and they would say, you know, hey, you want to go smoke a joint? And I'd be like, no, man, I don't do that anymore. I'm sorry, I don't. And I said, can I pray for you? Because I can see darkness in you. And I'm like, yeah, man, can I sit down? Yeah, yeah. So then I'm sharing with them the word of God. See, now this is a captive. I was surrounded by captives. And God placed me in there to bring the kingdom, to be strong and courageous, to speak the word, to have the word on my lips, and to see what he was going to do. You know, Isaiah 61, which was the battle call of the Lord Jesus Christ when he brought the kingdom, goes like this, verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, I was there and I was brokenhearted myself. Yet, as I submitted myself to the Lord and kept my eyes on Him and walked out in courage and strength, He was using me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me up to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Do you see how the kingdom of God is something totally different? Something completely different. You know, the challenges that Joshua and the children of Israel faced to go forth into the land, you know, they dealt with giants, they dealt with enemies, they dealt with greater numbers, they dealt with all this stuff. What was happening internally? The fear. But God said, be strong and courageous. Keep the word of the law on your mouth. Speak the word. Go back to the word. And that's what I had to do in that whole process in my life. This kingdom that we're a part of is contrary to the world. And Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this world, right? In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, it says, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it says, they overcame him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. So where the Lord led me from the psych ward to the psych ward out in the world, the street. The scripture says that the kingdom of God is within you. And you know, sometimes we interpret that that's something that's an inward thing, and it is, right? Because what is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God wherever. So that's the rule and reign of God within you, right? Because the king is king of your life. He is Lord of your life. But it goes beyond just you, doesn't it? Because when Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you and there were Pharisees around, what he was saying is he is in your midst. The king is here. So wherever the king is, wherever the king is brought, that's where the kingdom is. Okay? So as I was saying in the psych ward, the kingdom had come. Because God was the king of my life. He was ruling and reigning in my life, and I was demonstrating that. And the power of God was working through me, you see? Out in the world, I went to a church that I felt comfortable, a church that was full of misfits, just like me. A church that accepted you where you were at. You didn't have everything figured out. You know, when I met people that sinned so much. But you know, when they came to know the truth of Jesus Christ and his gospel, they fell in love. And what does it say? Those who have forgiven much, love much. I never saw such love before in my life. Because they understood. They understood what it meant to be completely rejected and hated. And all the things that they hated themselves more than themselves more than anything. But as I went from point A to point B, I started to walk the kingdom out in my life. Like for an example, there was one situation where I just said, I'm going to start praying for people on the street. And I said, whoever it is, I'm going to lay hands on them if they allow me to. And I met up with a guy that I knew that when I first met him early in my walk, I saw that he had a bottle of alcohol. And early in my walk, I didn't have a lot of grace for people. And And I said, you know, I think your life would go a lot better if you just stopped drinking. And he's like, yeah. He says, but I deal with pain every day. And it just kind of went over my head. But as I grew, and as the kingdom of God was manifested in my life, and God was working on my heart, and I was walking in obedience, and I was seeing strength, and I was seeing courage come out of my life that wasn't there before, he started giving me a heart for people. And when I saw that guy, his name was Phil, I just walked up to him and said, you know, Phil, how are you doing? I haven't talked to you for a while. And he said, oh, yeah, I've just been, you know, and he had such a good sense of humor. He said, I've been making cocktails. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, I've been making cocktails with chocolate milk and Chinese cooking wine. And I was like, oh. He's like, it burns going down a little bit, but does the job. I was like, oh, okay. And I said, you know, how's it going? He's like, not so good. And he said, the local, you know, kids or whatever around here think it's really fun to beat me up at night. I was just like, oh, you know, and my heart started breaking, you know, and it wasn't me. It was like God's heart in my life, what he was doing in me, how he was changing me. And I said, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to share. I'm going to lay hands on him. And I said, can I lay hands on you, Phil? And he's like, yeah, please do. And as I started to pray, right there, all of a sudden I could sense just light come upon us. The kingdom of God was coming right there, right then. And you know what? And I opened my eyes up, and tears were streaming down his eyes. And I was just like, and he's just like, God bless you. God bless you. Thank you so much for praying for me. And you know, it was just like, wow. There's something to this kingdom of God. And it was like, you know, I was so inspired. The kingdom of God, Paul says, is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are we living like this in our lives? Are we being bold? Are we being strong? Are we being courageous? Are we speaking the word of God wherever we go? And you know what? It takes those things to be a Christian. Being a Christian is not for the faint of heart. But I challenge you today, just as Jesus demonstrated those things, he demonstrated strength and courage, and he spoke the word of God boldly and powerfully, authoritatively in every situation, because he did the will of the Father, and he was led by the Spirit, and he led a submitted life completely and unequivocally in everything he did. Can we be perfect in all situations? No. But you know what? Sometimes we're so far off the mark, it's embarrassing. And I'm speaking for myself. I remember the kinds of things that used to happen. And you know what? My mind's, I got to remember, don't stay there. Because that was then. But learn from those mistakes, or not those mistakes, from those good things, and go forward. Because God is a living God, and he's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can't stay stuck in the past. But we have lessons to learn and apply, right? Silence is uncomfortable a little bit, isn't it? No?
No.
You know, it's so easy just to get buried into preaching. Like, I'm speaking for myself, okay? Like, to be so proud of your abilities or whatever, to do things a certain way. It's so challenging to sometimes just say, okay, God, I'm in your hands. And to hope that there's going to be some coherent message. Because I don't like doing this. But I feel I have to. Because I feel like that God is really speaking to his church today. And we can't afford to miss out on what he's saying. Amen. to be reminded of what it means to be a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ, to seek after his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. You know, like, it just, I love it when God uses people to challenge me. I'm talking to you. You challenge me. Yeah? What do we do? Stand up and dance around? No. You challenge me. There's other people here that challenge me, and I need that. But I hope I challenge you too. I hope that the Lord is touching your heart and the Spirit is saying, listen, pay attention. Not because Pastor Raff is somebody. Pastor Raff is nobody. Pastor Raff is somebody that God had mercy upon him and healed him from manic depression, from bipolar disorder. Set me free. Hey, you don't hear that happens very often. Praise God. Glory to God. Because God did something in me that, you know what? I cannot forget or take for granted or in any way think that I had anything to do with it. Because you know what? I was going to hell darn quick. I almost killed a man in the whole thing that I was involved in. That's another story for another time. But you know, where would I have gone? Where would I have been? What would have happened? But in the midst of my darkness, God met me with his light and brought me and rescued me and pulled me out of the flames. And you know what? I think it serves the church well. And yes, so if you grew up in a Christian home, it's okay. Remember when God touched your heart. Remember when you heard something that really blessed you. Remember when you heard a song that actually challenged you, that touched your life. And you're like, wow, God is real. If you haven't got there yet, come and see me. Let's talk about it. But you know what? The days of playing church are gone. The days of victoryless lives is over. We have a God that went to the cross for us.
Prophesy, brother.
Amen. We don't have to keep going down to the hole. And you know what? If you're there, you need to cry out. You need to cry out to God. And this guy cried out yesterday too. You should just come up here and finish the message. If you're in that hole, you need to cry out to him because he is reaching for you. And you're not seeing his hand. Because his grace is sufficient in the midst of it. See, that's the thing, is that this kingdom is an upside down kingdom. You know what? When what does it say in Matthew chapter 4? Just to remind us of this upside down kingdom that is the kingdom of God. The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 4. Chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is the reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Does this sound something you want to get involved in? The opposite of what the world would say is great and fun and good? Make you happy? Well, you know what? If you came to Christ, you're all signed up for this. It's an opposite kingdom. It's an upside down kingdom. And that's the way it works. When we are weak, he can be strong in our lives. His grace is sufficient. And it's more than just words. And many of you know exactly what that means, and you're living it. You're experiencing it. Not every day. Some days, they just are terrible. Some days, you feel like you're in the hole. But you're not in the hole. It just feels like it. So I exhort you today is that remember this kingdom that we're a part of. Remember to be strong, to be courageous, and to not let the word of the law, his word, depart from your lips. That's the way he lived. Every time that you stand in the face of the external pressures, you're being strong, you're being courageous, and you're speaking his word, hopefully. And every time you deal with those internal struggles to obey the word of God, those pressures that are coming from the enemy himself to disrupt you, to dismantle you, you're being strong, you're being courageous, and hopefully you're speaking the word of God, because that's the way the Lord demonstrated how to win the battle, right? In the wilderness. That's exactly what he did. Hadn't eaten for 40 days or 40 nights. I didn't eat for 10 hours, and I thought I was going to die. Say, Pastor Raph, you should maybe extend that a little bit. Yeah, maybe I should. But you know when you're really hungry, or you're, in his case, thirsty. But you know his hope? He knew that God would sustain him, and he lived that out for us. That's the example. Just in closing, you know, this pastor friend of mine who mentored me for a time, he used to say this to me. He used to say, "Raph, you're a miracle." And I'd be like, "No, I'm not. God is the miracle. That God gave me a miracle." And he's like, "Yeah, I know. I'm a pastor. I understand theology," he would say. But he says, "You got to recognize." Because what they told me when I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, they said, "You're always going to have this. You're always going to be on meds. You're never going to get married. You're never going to have children. You're going to have to live in a psych ward or a group home. And that's going to be your life." Now, they said a little nicer than that. "Look at me now, day job." Right? Look at him. This is what he did. Look at him. All glory and praise and honor to him. Because the kingdom came into my life. And it's something so precious, it's worth selling all you have to grab a hold of. If you ever feel like you're in the danger of losing that precious pearl, come to me, come to someone else, say, "I need prayer. I need help. I'm struggling so much. I don't want to lose what I've been given." Because the thing is, brothers and sisters, why is this an important thing to listen to today? Because all around us, maybe people you know, they're packing it in. They say, "No, I don't want to follow God anymore." It's happening all over. People I know, people I pastored. It's dangerous out there. Stay in the ark. Stay in the ark. I think it's time to land this plane. Well, I hope that you're encouraged today. I pray that you would just ask the Lord to continue to bring conviction, continue to bring you to a place of desiring his kingdom more than anything else, seeking his kingdom first and his righteousness. And all those other things, he knows what you need. He knows exactly what you need. He made you. He knows the things that you're lacking, and he will make a way for those things.
Yes.
But seek him first. Seek his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And remember about being strong, being courageous, and don't let the word depart from your mouth. Because this is the way of the kingdom. Joshua did it in the Old Testament, and Jesus completed it because he fulfilled the law, didn't he? It's the fulfillment of the law. Can I ask Ellen to come up with the worship team? I'm going to just invite you to stand and let's pray together as we conclude Lord, we just say that you are a God that's worthy to be worshiped and praised. We thank you, Lord, that you are the end and the beginning and the end, and you know all things. You are Almighty God. Thank you, Lord, that you took a lost, hopeless person and transformed my life, Lord God, and so many others that you've done the same or will. The story's not over yet for many. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to draw us near. Lord, that you would help us to recognize just this day that we're living in, where our priorities are. It's so easy to be defeated. It's so easy to live without the power of God in our lives. It's so easy to just do whatever we want to do instead of seeking your kingdom. So Lord, we just pray. Look into our hearts. I pray that you would just touch us. If this speaks to you, just as everyone is praying, just lift up your hand. We don't want to make a serious thing of it. But if God is speaking to you about this, lift up your hand. Be willing to just receive what the Lord is wanting to do in your life. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just pray as we enter into worship that you continue to minister to those that are crying out to you, Lord, that are lifting up their hands. Lord, we pray that you would touch lives today even deeper, Lord God. And we all remember when we came to faith and what an exciting and powerful and vibrant time it was. We pray, Lord, that we could be renewed, be refreshed by your Spirit, where again that we see your kingdom. We live your kingdom and we walk strong. We walk with courage and we speak your word powerfully with authority in every situation. That's the way you lived, Lord. Help us not to make excuses anymore. I don't want to make excuses anymore. I don't want to pass up opportunities. And Lord, again, when we do and when we go from here and we make mistakes, there's no condemnation. Because we're in Christ. But you don't want us to be without those victories that you, through your blood, purchased our salvation and redeemed us. And you brought the victory, and the victory is ours. Forgive us, Lord, when we live beneath that. We thank you, Jesus. I just pray that you would touch our hearts mightily. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to 89.1 Grace Christian Radio. We hope you join us next Sunday. Have an amazing week.